The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the second and third chapters. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.' Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Come forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill it?' But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." The Gospel of the Lord. Maybe sit. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was in junior high and high school, I had a job. And it was a good job. I thought it was a good job. I enjoyed it. It was keeping the lawn of the church and the cemetery, which was probably 5 to 6 acres, quite a bit of grass. And so when I would get through with it, it was time to start over again. And also take care of the hedges and the weed eating and all that stuff outside. And I enjoyed the work. But when I went off to college, I could no longer do that. And the church had mixed success at finding somebody to take it on at a regular basis. So one weekend when I came home from college, it was a stressful week. I had several tests that I had in my classes. Also, several papers were due, and I was stressed out. And I needed some physical activity just to relieve the stress and do something outside. And I noticed that the back lot at the church had not been mowed. And I also noticed that they had a brand new tractor mower. And so I wanted to check it out. So I got permission. And so on that Sunday afternoon, I jumped on the tractor and started mowing grass. In the meantime, my uncle drove up and he was chatting with my father outside. And I noticed that they were out there. So I stopped the tractor and walked over and just to say hi to my uncle. And I'll still remember what my uncle said to me. He said, "Boy, if your grandmother could see what you're doing now, she'd roll over in her grave." As Americans, we like our work. We are workaholics sometimes. We have a good work ethic. We enjoy working, and we work hard. But we're also leisure crazy. We enjoy doing our work, but at the same time, I think sometimes we work 10, 12 hours a day just so that we can have the money to pay for the toys we need on the weekend. We enjoy our leisure time, and we do a lot of things outside on the weekends as well then, too. In our gospel lesson today, there's some controversy dealing with the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Jesus and his disciples, there's two stories here, actually, in the gospel lesson. What had happened in that day and time was throughout the centuries, the scholars, the Jewish scholars, had said, how can we keep these commandments? And what they did then was they built all these laws and codes and rules around these commandments so that you would never get close to breaking the actual commandment. And so they had all of these laws, and it became very strict and very well defined of what was work and what was not work. For instance, any kind of field work was definitely off limits. Any kind of physical labor was off limits. Even things like cooking on the Sabbath was forbidden. So you had to prepare your meals ahead of time. You had to count how many steps you took on the Sabbath, because if you went over that amount, you were working. Like I said, they got very meticulous in defining what was work and what was rest for the Sabbath. There were some exceptions to the rules. For instance, if you had a milk cow or milk goat, you could milk that animal because that had to be done. If there was an emergency, you could take care of that emergency. And so here in this first story of our gospel for today, Jesus and his disciples are out traveling. Now, usually when Jesus was out and about doing his ministry, many times as he came into the towns or the villages, a family would invite him to come into their house and stay for that period that he would be in the village. And they would feed him, and they would have a roof over their heads. Jesus and his disciples then would be taken care of. And that gave the family then the opportunity, that personal time, that one-on-one time with Jesus, and maybe possibly even any healing that needed to happen in that household. But on some occasions, there was not an invitation to come and stay. Or in this instance here, as it appears, Jesus was traveling from one village to another, and they had no place to stay. They had no food. Now, it was also the practice in that day and time. Then after the harvesters had a chance to go through the field and pick the crop, anybody could come out into that field, and it was kind of a social security for that time that those who were poor and destitute would have some food that they would be able to eat, or like these travelers could stop and they could pluck grains that were left over from the harvest. They could glean the fields and get the food that they needed. And that's what Jesus and his disciples were in the midst of doing when the Pharisees saw it. And it happened to be on the Sabbath. Clearly, this was field work. Clearly, this was labor. And so the Pharisees jumped on Jesus and says, "What in the world are you doing? How can you allow your disciples to break this law?" Jesus reminded them of the story of King David when Saul was chasing hot after him, that he had no food. They were weary. They needed a place to rest, a place to stop. And they went into the temple and they ate the food, or the bread of the presence, which was sacrificial food that only the priest could eat. Jesus also made mention that the Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. In other words, the Sabbath was a day to rest, a day of rest for people from all the weary work that you have to do the rest of the week, a time to rejuvenate, a time to be renewed. Again, it's a mention back to the story of creation when God created everything in 6 days, and on the seventh day, God himself rested. So it's a reminder to these Pharisees of what was the intention of the law. It was a time of worship, and it was a time of rest, a time to be renewed, rather than just a law that you have to follow, where the Pharisees could say, "Aha, you're not following this law, you are a sinner." In our second story for the gospel lesson today, again, it takes place on the Sabbath, and it's almost a trap. Jesus goes in for worship. The Sabbath actually began on Friday at sundown, and the Sabbath ended on Saturday sundown. So at Friday on sundown, everybody would gather at the synagogue or the temple, and they would go to worship. Well, Jesus and his disciples also followed that tradition, and they went to worship. And at that worship, though, was one of the local members there had a hand that was withered, and whether it was from birth or whether it was from an accident long before, It doesn't mention here, but it was something that was an ailment that he had had for a long time. Obviously, it was not an emergency. He had had it for a long time. For Jesus to heal him, he could wait another day. And so the Pharisees were going to watch to see what Jesus would do here. And if he healed it, then they had him. They had him discredited. They could show that he was a sinner here on this synagogue in this worship place. Jesus knew of the trap and he asked the Pharisees, is it better to do good on the Sabbath or to do harm? Is it better to save life or to kill? They would not answer his question. Jesus was upset with them because of their hardness of heart, of their lack of compassion. And so Jesus heals the man, and the Pharisees immediately go out and start to plot to get rid of Jesus. Already here in the third chapter of Mark, it begins. But what about us? What do we do about this third commandment of remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? How do we honor that? How do we keep that commandment? Things have changed over the years. You know, we're no longer in biblical times. Even that comment, even from the time of that comment of my uncle, and that said, you know, if your grandmother could see what you're doing now, she would roll over in her grave. It was not an accusation against me. It was the way that I took it was more a reflection of the times. Because 100 years ago, the world was different as well then too. My grandparents grew up in rural areas on rural farms. A typical Sunday would be everybody went to church unless you were deathly ill. Or if the creeks were up, you couldn't make it across. But then you had worship at home. But on a typical Sunday morning, everybody would go to worship. And then after worship, the whole extended family would come back to grandma's house. And they would have a big dinner, big Sunday dinner. Maybe it was from some chickens that had just been butchered. Maybe it was from a ham that had been cured by themselves. Maybe it was from some beef that they had raised on their own farm. Potatoes that they had dug themselves. And whatever else the garden would produce during that time of year. And they'd have a big meal. And the women would go off and they would talk about who's having babies, who's getting married, and family issues, and all those kind of things going on. Men would go out and they would complain about the weather and the price of the crops. Children would go running around all over the place just playing and exploring. And that was the typical Sunday afternoon, a get-together. The old folks would sit back in a chair or find a bed and take a nap. And that's what Sunday afternoon was 100 years ago. And maybe that's still going on. Maybe some of you are still able to do that. And that was a great way to spend a Sunday afternoon. It got out of the drudgery of the hard work, the hard labor of running farms and ranches. And people had a time for rest, a time to rejuvenate, a time to enjoy one another. But times have changed for us. So how are we able to honor this Sabbath day? You know, families are scattered. Children grow up. They go off to college. They go off to work. They move to different towns, different cities, different states, even different countries. And they're not able to gather on Sunday afternoons with the rest of the family. How do we honor this commandment? Many people, like I said earlier, enjoy the weekends. They catch up on all the jobs that they forgot to do during the week or did not have time to do during the week. They also play hard. And sometimes even in that play becomes more work than it is actually relaxation. I mean, if you're out on the lake cussing the boat motor because it quit, that's not necessarily relaxing. A good rule of thumb to think about is, are you more tired on Monday morning going back to work than you were on Friday evening when you got out of work? We work hard, we play hard on the weekends. So how do we honor this commandment? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It is a time to relax, a time to do something different. Like for me in college, I was stressed out at college. I needed some physical activity just to relieve that stress. For me, that was relaxing. And that's one of the things, again, it's honoring this commandment. How best are we rejuvenated in our body? How best are we rejuvenated in our spirit? Certainly, the weekend, the Sabbath is for rest, but it is also very much for worship. And that's what we do on Sunday mornings, or here at St. Paul, also on Saturday evenings. We gather for worship because that is where we come together. And it is important that we do come together because then we can pray for each other. We can come together and lift our voices together in song and in prayer and in praise and thanksgiving. We can hear the word of God. We can hear again those words of salvation, that even though we have sinned, that there is still forgiveness through that cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we constantly need to be reminded of that. Otherwise, our world, our life gets very dreary and weary. We need that time just to come together, to be with one another, to support one another, to share concerns, to share joys, to share excitement, to congratulate those. Like 2 weeks ago, we congratulated those who were graduating from high school. We need those times of celebration together as a congregation, as a family of God. And so worship is a very important part of this week because we need our souls restored. Not only our physical bodies rested, but we also need our spirits rested, our souls restored once again, so that we can go out this next week and we can face the troubles of the world. We can face those hardships, that anger, that evil that is in this world. And we can address it with the words of God. We need this day of rest. We need this day of worship to spend time with God and also a time with one another, and then also a time just to be rejuvenated, to be renewed, to be refreshed. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.